Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We have just a few radio announcements for today. Saturday, February 19th, Trinity United Methodist Church is opening their doors again to the community for a free meal from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We are located at 333 South Chestnut Street. This morning's flowers are provided by Neil and Debbie Paffenberger in honor of our Trinity members, and the radio is sponsored by Mark and Kathy Smallwood in honor of Joanna's birthday. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to the Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour.
And now, for a treat from Trinity United Methodist Choir, let there be peace on earth.
Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin.
Today will be Ephesians 2, 11 through 22.
One in Christ. Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This morning's sermon will be entitled Fruit of the Spirit, Peace, given by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
No greater word of God has been spoken forth than that of peace, for Jesus Christ himself is the Prince of Peace. We will be studying over the next few months the fruit of the Spirit. There are not 9 separate fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is evidence of the Spirit living within us. There are 9 characteristics, 9 personality traits that bear evidence that we have the fruit of the Spirit living within us. The one selected for this morning and the one most needed in this world right after the love of Christ Jesus himself is peace. There was a crew that was traveling through the desert times by camelback. They were riding at night to avoid the blazing heat during the day. And as they crossed over a dry creek bed, out of nowhere came a booming, thundering, loud, attention-gathering voice that said, "Stop." So they stopped. And then they were ordered to dismount from their camels, and they did. After being ordered to dismount from their camels, they were told to bend down to the dry creek bed and to fill their hands with pebbles, and to take those pebbles and to stuff them in their pockets, which they did. They were told to mount back on their camels and to ride through the night before setting camp. And they were told that they would be told when to stop. When they stopped, there was a voice that told them to check their pockets and that they would be both happy and sad. And they checked their pockets. They were filled with precious jewels. And of course, the men were both happy and sad. They were happy that they had been obedient to that voice and that they had filled their pockets like commanded to do. And yet they were sad that they had not stuffed even more into their pockets. Beloved, a day will come when we feel the same way about how much of God's word we have absorbed. We will be happy that we have absorbed however much each and every one of our hearts and our spirits has led us to absorb. But we will also be sad that we did not absorb more when we had the opportunity to absorb as much as possible. You see, the jewels are best shown off when they are held up to a bright light. We see the light reflected through the jewels as we see every facet of his word, his spirit, his fruit. When we first ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate that word within us, when we sit before the Word of God, beloved, this is a promise. When you sit before the Word of God and you ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate His Word to you, He will indeed illuminate that Word. It might not be right that second. For He works in a timing that is all of His own, and that timing is forever best. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 characteristics, 9 jewels of character that will be examined in the light of God's word as to how best to allow them to be developed within individual lives. For how he develops these character traits in our lives is up to him. In recovery, they talk about removing from us all the defects of character that stand in our way of serving God and of connecting with our fellow man. And we all want to decide what those character traits are that should be removed first. But beloved, That is the Almighty's decision. Which character traits he removes from us. It is also the Almighty's decision which character traits flourish in us to the greatest. I hope you all did indeed finish your spiritual gifts inventory. If not, there are more back there for you to pick up. And after you have finished that spiritual gifts inventory, it would be my greatest honor if you would make a copy of it or at least write down what your spiritual gifts are so that I might pray alongside of you for how those gifts might be best used through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit in and among our church body, in our community, and most important of all, in the hardest place for us to manifest such jewels of character in our own homes. You see, beloved, we have the tendency to put our best foot forward, to put on a smiling, shiny face when we go out in public. The most difficult and the most important place for us to manifest these jewels of character are with those who are closest to us. But that is when we have the tendency to let down our guard, to just let our hair down and be who we are. When we pray to our fullest that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in us, his gifts and his fruits in us, and then let him have his way with us, those gifts, those fruits, those personality traits go across the board. In our homes, in our places of employment, with our grandchildren whom we model Christ for, in the church body herself, and out in the community. This is how I feel about the following three verses from the Apostle Paul, Galatians 5, 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things there are no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Beloved, that is a very difficult thing to do, to crucify the flesh and to live by the Spirit. It is a thing that is absolutely 100% impossible without Christ Jesus himself, without turning ourselves over to Jesus and asking him to crucify the desires of the flesh and to build in us these fruits of the Spirit. We cannot possibly do this on our own. Paul's writings challenge us to do exactly what they are boiled down to, a Christian's responsibility. Two succinct commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. Likewise, the Apostle Paul has captured these nine personality traits that will assist us in fulfilling these commands in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is a composite or a picture of what the Christian lifestyle and the Christian character are all about. An unbroken whole. We do not get to pick the fruit that we like. Just like removing our defects of character is God's choice. The fruit that he further develops in us is his choice. We can pray. We can pray for patience. I call it forbearance. It is the one that has been named by several names, patience, long-suffering, and forbearance. Because forbearance tells us how we should treat one another. The gift within us that allows us to be patient with one another. The gift within us that allows us to suffer a long time when something is not going as we would have it to go, and still trust our good and almighty God. That is a difficult thing to do without first having asked God to crucify the desires of the flesh, to crucify what we would have. For I believe all of us would agree, none of us likes suffering. None of us likes pain. None of us likes the refining fire and the full bearer soap that cleanses us and cleanses us from the outside. But without participating in these things, we cannot fully absorb the nature of Christ Jesus. And thereby, we cannot fully absorb peace, joy, love, all of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, which make life wholly and truly worth living. The Greek word for peace, eirene, means peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, or to be set at one with yourself. Let me read that again. Means peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, true rest in Him, is to be set at one with yourself. Again, there are all kinds of peace in our world today. There is the peace of death. There is the peace of a tranquilizer at work. There is the peace which is a lack of noise for a time period. There is a peace that results in the lack of strife. There is a peace that is the absence of not arguing. But you see, not arguing, not talking, not working through things is not complete peace, beloved. It simply means that the issue has gone underground. It has been buried. That is a very dangerous thing. Those of you who are married, would you agree that to never argue throughout your entire marriage is a dangerous thing? That's a dangerous thing. For that means we are not really communicating. We are not really talking with one another. We are not really looking at the problems at hand. Any type of strife that has gone underground means a deadening of that part of the Spirit. That is not peace, beloved. Longfellow said it best, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks a song of peace on earth and good will to men. There may be many reasons for despair, if we did not know the Prince of Peace himself, but we do know the Prince of Peace himself. Our lives have been committed to the Prince of Peace. And hopefully each and every one of us has asked God that we might be used as an instrument of peace in His hands. When an historian pointed out that 85% of all human history concerns itself with discord, war, conflict, personal, corporate, and national or worldwide, I can summarize this in one word. Self. Or biblically, flesh. When we live in the realm of self, when we abide by the flesh and not by the Spirit, we may not see evident signs of discord, but neither will we see the fruit of the Spirit. Neither will we be able to fully utilize the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has deposited in each one of us. And those gifts, beloved, were not deposited for self. They were not deposited for each and every one of you to use on your own. They were deposited in you that they might be used in community. that they might be used in the body of Christ, that they might be used to further God's kingdom here upon this earth. John 14:27 tells us that the peace that Christ Jesus gives us is unlike any peace that is known of this world. How many of you have been in the midst of the greatest suffering or the greatest grief and still felt the peace of God wash over you? It is a miracle like no other. To be hurting so desperately, to be grieving someone we have lost, to be dealing with terminal illness, to be dealing with any kind of illness, to be dealing with unrest, and then to have the peace of Christ Jesus laid upon you. It is a feeling like nothing else. And John 14:27 tells us the peace that I give to you is unlike anything that this world could possibly give. Into this cynical, weary, war-torn, strife-filled world, there is a positive message regarding the author of peace. And that is John 14:27. The peace that I give to you is unlike any peace in this world. I have to love it when the sermon prep ends up challenging the author of the sermon. And that happens more times than you will ever know, or perhaps some of you do know. When I sit down and I begin to work on a message, I was told to first pray over that scripture that I am using and to allow it to wound me first. And after it has wounded me, then to pray what it is I am to say to God's people. Because sometimes the two are different. Sometimes the Spirit intends to first uproot in me, to pull down all strongholds, to throw out all idols, all false gods, or anything that takes precedence before our God. In short, a changing of an attitude before I can even continue to finish the message. Jesus taught us about this by saying, "You do not sew a new piece of cloth into an old garment, nor do you place new wine into old wineskins that have dried up." Before truly abiding in peace can come, there must be a complete change of character. And my God is working on me in this at this time. It seems to me like time and time again, there is a seed, a piece of flesh that must be torn up and uprooted so that I might better understand my brother and my sister, so that I might better understand my congregation and come alongside of them and work with them together to bring the peace, the love, the joy, the kindness, the gentleness of Christ Jesus not only into our midst, but into the midst of our community. Christ starts at the point of need. He cleans out the past and builds a new future with proper attitudes in place, which then lend to a new and peaceful future. There will be peace in the hearts of those who have a life-changing encounter with their living Savior. Ultimately, there will not be total peace on earth until our Prince of Peace returns. Then this world will experience peace completely. James reminds us, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. James 3:18. Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit of peace. The peace that Christ gives is not only in good circumstances of life. It is a deep, abiding, inner tranquility that comes in all types of circumstances of life. This is a peace that transcends troubles and turmoil. This is the peace of the fruit of the Spirit, evidence of the inner indwelling of the Spirit within you, manifestation of truly living as the Spirit would have us to live. A friend of mine visited an elderly woman crippled with severe arthritis, and he asked her, "Do you suffer much?" She said, "Yes, but there is no nail here." Pointing to the palm of her hand, she pointed to her brow and she said, "There are no thorns here, and there is no hole here. Yes, I suffer, but I have peace. I have peace of the one who bears the nail-scarred hands and the nail-scarred feet. The one who bore the thorns piercing into his brow, and the one who died at the spear in his side. I have peace because he first bore all turmoil, all pain, all sin, all suffering unto himself." I'm going to read the scripture that Cassie read one more time, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and to listen carefully. And then later, if an image comes to mind to you, I would ask that you would share that with me. "One in Christ" is a subtitle in my Bible. "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what it is called, the circumcision, which is to be made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh," "the dividing wall of hostility." I'll read that one more time. "He who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed." Likewise, hold on just a second here. "And in ordinances that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace that might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, he both had access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You may open your eyes. And I pray if there were images that came to your mind through that reading, you will share them with me at some point. Why do people insist upon making such a difference between us and them? Male and female, Jew and Gentile, black and white, young and old. Even a church sworn to unity, there are cliques, there are classes, and there are age-old bitternesses that come between us and them. Do we think that there may be a problem with labeling people? That was a question. Is there a problem with labeling people? Is there a problem in our times of us and them, of separation? There is a deep problem. And one of the things that break our Lord's heart, that hammer another nail into those nail-scarred hands, is any type of division. Does that mean that we will ever fully reach a place where we will all live together in harmony? No. Because we will struggle for the rest of our lives to crucify the flesh, to live in the Spirit, to live together with one another and to work alongside of one another to bring the kingdom of heaven here to this earth. If it were not possible to bring pieces of the kingdom of heaven here to this earth, why would our Lord have us pray for that in the Lord's Prayer? It is possible. It is possible for us to crucify the flesh enough that we might live together in harmony and that we might bring to our peace of earth the peace of Christ and live together in harmony with one another, but not without some hard work, beloved. Just the same as in a marriage when there is no arguments. Things go underground and they fester. And part of our spirit is wounded and dies. We, the body, must learn to communicate with one another. We must learn to do the hard work of talking to one another, of expressing. This does not sit well with me. How can we come together? How can we as the entire body come together, crucify first and foremost our own flesh, asking Christ Jesus to give us his peace, to give us his vision, to give us his hope and his strength so that we might fully come together as one, not just cutting off parts of ourselves. To whom has Paul addressed this letter? To the Jews? To the Gentiles? To the church? To us? Well, we know that Paul initially addressed this letter to the church in Ephesus, but by the reading of the word, we too are his disciples. By the reading of the word, he too is addressing us. Much unneeded turmoil comes into our lives because of division. In recovery, they have a saying, the key to all of my problems are found in acceptance. I'd like to read you something quickly. Acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity, no peace until I accept that person, that place, that thing, or that situation. Nothing, absolutely nothing happens in God's world by mistake. I cannot receive the full peace of Christ, no matter what I do, unless I accept every person, place, and situation for what they are. And try to better myself. Try to crucify my flesh. Try to come alongside of Jesus and ask him, how would you have me to maneuver with this person in this situation, in this place? How would you have me to crucify my flesh and do the very best that I can do to come alongside of you, working with this person, place, or situation? Christ starts at the point of need. He cleans out the past and builds a new future. Mother Teresa said, if we love each other as God loves us, there will be peace. To be able to love as he loves, we need a clean heart, a heart free of all that is not love. Fred, Mr. Rogers said, I think peace begins with a sense of inner peace, and I firmly believe that that comes from knowing that we are loved by the people who mean the most to us. Unless we go to the Bible, unless we get on our knees and open our hearts before the Prince of Peace, there are no real answers to experiencing peace in this world. There is only one way, and through one person and his shed blood, that any of us can find peace with God. In closing, S.D. Gordon wrote, when the heart's wrong, there can't be peace. Selfishness is gangrene, eating at our very vitals. Sin is a cancer poisoning the blood. Peace. Peace is the rhythm of our wills, aligned within Jesus' love will. So as we listen and sing along with Reba in praying for peace, let us remember the wise words that our choir left with us. Let it begin within me.